Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Good morning, everybody. Or I should say good morning, church. If you're new here, happy Palm Sunday. Just amazing time of year. I wish I could have went with the group last night to see The Chosen. I'm sure I missed a whole bunch. But anyways, maybe we should get another group and we'll go. But anyways, if you don't know me, my name's Mitch Gorman. I'm an associate pastor here. And just super happy to be a part of Save the Cowboy and just all that, everything that's going on. Kevin's been on vacation for a couple weeks and officiated a very special wedding for Andy Holdifer's daughter and their family last night, and congratulations to them if you're watching. I'll try not to make you mad about the Hallmark movies this week and the rest of you. I've never heard one guy complain, so I'm just saying. But just kind of a recap of what we talked about last week before we just dive in. Just kind of the things that we talked about to simple it down. We remember the six D's that are talked about. It's deceive, it's disunify. This is what Satan tries to do to us. It's deceive, disunify, desensitize, destroy, deconstruct, and distract us. And Satan and his army of demons, they never sleep. They're always studying you. They're always studying your family. They're always out to attack you. They want to destroy everything that's good about you and everything good that God wants for you as well. But even though Satan thinks of us all the time, this is the good news today, is that we have a God that thinks of us all the time as well. And I know last week could have been a deep sermon for a lot of you, but we went through John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come to give you life and give it in abundance. So I took the first part, and now I'm taking the second part of that verse, and we're diving into it. So let's go to God in prayer before we get to it. Lord, we thank you so much just for this morning, God. Just 2,000 years ago, as the events unfolded, Satan and his demons had an agenda, but you had a mission. And we're so thankful that you completed that mission, so we may get to know you and have relationships with everybody that's even here today, because without that, none of us would even be here, Lord. God, continue to open our hearts just to your word, and continue to open them just to be shaped more into the image of your Son, so we can go and just spread the love of you everywhere that we go. Be with us this Sunday. It's your name we ask these things. Amen. All right. So let's jump back in. I was telling a really bad story last week when I left off. I was talking about this new hobby that I had picked up, and it was skiing. I had been skiing before earlier in my childhood, and I just thought that I could just pick it right back up after I've grown 2 feet and weighed 150 pounds more. So I just thought that's how it worked. And unbeknownst to me, like when we went skiing as a kid, nobody wore helmets or anything. I don't know when that started, but I'm glad you did. Anyways, because I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I get to, all my friends are like, yeah, we should go skiing. So I was like, yeah, we should go skiing. And we get everything rented. We get skis rented. I didn't get beginner skis because I wasn't a beginner. I've been skiing lots of times. Anyways, I get some super long skis that as soon as I got off the lift, also precursor before that, my friends were begging me to get a helmet, and that's why I brought that up. I was like, I don't need no helmet. I've never skied with a helmet before. And right off the lift, we decided to go down, we're just going to ease back into this. Everybody just needed a good refresher. And so we go down a nice, blue? Yeah, we went down a nice blue. And there's a little trail off to the side. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hit this trail right here. So, unbeknownst to me, about 10 feet into the trail, there's just a little bitty jump. But I felt like I was flying this high in the air. I probably was about 4 inches off the ground. But anyways, I still couldn't move my non-beginner skis. I hit a tree and broke my helmet. So that was but I still skied that day. I don't remember it, but I still skied, all right? Allegedly. I couldn't walk for like 3 weeks after either. But Anyways, that's my first point, is just as my terrible idea of skiing would be my next hobby, that's my first point, is that Christianity in itself is a terrible hobby. Terrible hobby. We live in a world where we're told to live our truth, our own truth, and we're told to do whatever makes you happy, or do whatever you feel like in the moment. Follow your own heart. Do all we've heard a lot of these things, especially in the counseling world that we have now. Like, you're supposed to love yourself, you're supposed to do, and I'm not against any of that at all. I'm just saying we can get so focused on that we take our relationship with Christ completely out of our lives because we think we're all dependent on ourselves, and that's a dangerous thing. Just as it says in Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And that's the hard thing for us to understand, is that God really knows how bad our hearts can be and how bad our hearts can be deceived as well, right? So if they're easily deceived like that, that is why God, this is why, as we look at Palm Sunday, this is why, if you guys were watching The Chosen, you could see just how upset the disciples were with Jesus that he was predicting his own death. Well, the reason he was predicting his own death is because he knew it had to happen for us, because he knew our hearts were easily deceived and wicked. You know, we're born with a sin nature. We're born with this inept thing inside of us to do wrong, right? I'm going through Fire Academy right now, and like every 10 minutes, I just say to myself, I hate it here and I want to go home. But they're pushing me. They're pushing me. And that's what happens. Yeah, Tyler, shut up. Just kidding. Just kidding. I didn't say that. But our hearts can be deceived like that. And I'll get into more of that in a minute, of why being pushed is such a good thing. But that also is such a good thing for us to remember, is that our hearts need push. Our hearts need growth. And we don't grow without hard things in our lives. And we definitely do not grow without Jesus in our life. Right? And if I say that, and that's a hard like thing for you to digest, take it from a perfectionist. Like, when I'm not perfect and I don't feel like I'm good enough, sometimes it destroys me. Like, my life has been built off performance. I'm good at this. I'm good at that. I'm good at this. If I do this, I'll be loved. If I do that, everybody will like me, or everybody will think that I'm funny. And that's the truth, is that we will never be good enough without God's love. We never will. And that's what completes us as a person, is Jesus. We can't do this on our own. We'll never be perfect. That's why that's why Jesus lived a perfect life and lived that perfection for us, and was a spotless lamb, as Old Testament talks about in the sacrifices. He was an unblemished lamb without imperfections that died for us, right? That's why he died for us. He had to live a perfect life. It literally had to be that way. He had to be completely sinless. That way he could atone for our own imperfection. And if that doesn't get you fired up and make you feel absolutely loved by God, I don't know whatever else will. Because in my own perfections, whenever I get incredibly defeated or crushed by my own imperfection, I fall back on now, not my own performance, but God's love. And that's an astounding thing, like when you get to that point of like, I have nothing to prove to anybody. There's a peace that comes with that, is I don't have anything to prove to anybody. I can be good at all these things, but at the end of the day, I'll still never have peace, even if I'm good at all of these things. I still never will. That's why we need Jesus, is because we'll never be enough. We'll never feel like we're enough. We'll always feel like, I need the next greatest thing. I need to do the next best thing. And it's just never enough. But when we have Jesus in our lives and he comes and fills that hole in our hearts, that's when we are enough. And that's when peace actually, that's the peace that most people are looking for. We're looking for this, we look through it through horses. We look through it through cattle. We look through it through relationships. You name it, that hole in our heart, we're trying to fill with everything else but God. And that's the point that I'm trying to get at in this first point, is that without God, we'll never have peace. That there's an inept hole in our heart that can only be filled by God. And only God can bring peace into that hole that we're trying to fill all these things in. Anyways, that was completely out of the notes. I don't know where that came from. But not long ago, you hear it a lot of times in ministry, and it's amazing when you see people grow, and you start talking to people, and you know they're beginning their faith journey. And there was a guy I talked to not long ago, and he put it perfectly. He's like, I just feel so much more imperfect the closer I get to God, right? And if you, and a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We see our own imperfections. Like, the closer we get to God, who is perfect, the more we just feel imperfect. And that can do one of two things. It can either cause us to lean in, or it can cause us to lean out. A lot of times when we start to lean out and we start to feel like we're not good enough for God, we start to lean out, and eventually we just kind of just deconstruct that D word that I was talking about, and we kind of just throw everything out. We kind of just throw our whole faith out because we'll never be good enough. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of churches have gone, especially in the United States. And it's not just churches in the United States. Every other single religion in the world, you have to work to get closer to your God. This is the only religion, I call it a relationship, but just to simplify it for a lot of people, this is the only religion where your God came down in bodily form and died for you, period. What other God has ever done that? And he died for you to have a direct relationship with him. No other God has done that. And that's what separates our God from everybody else's, is he wants a relationship with you. He came to give us life and give it in abundance. How is he going to do that unless he's in direct relationship with us? He's not. Every other religion in the world, if you study them, you have to work to get closer to that God. And unfortunately, a lot of times in the United States, we have actually started saying that. We've gone away from a lot of biblical truth that says we need to work to feel closer to God. But when we start doing that, that's us starting to try to fill that hole in our hearts again with our own self-worth, with our own performance, not God's performance. Just as I said, in the opening prayer, as we come into Palm Sunday and Easter, we see that Satan has an agenda, but Jesus has a mission. He has a mission. And as especially as we keep going into this, we'll just continue to see how Jesus' death and resurrection and what it means to us. And just as the veil was torn, if you don't know that story, after the resurrection, when the veil was torn, that gave us complete access to God. Complete access. No middleman, no nothing. We have complete access to God, the most powerful person in the world. He is our God. He is our chain breaker and our foothold breaker as well. No other religion offers that. I'm saying all this to set up the idea that Jesus not only came to save us from eternal separation from him, just as we talked about last week, but he also came to give us an amazing life, just as John 10:10 says. And it starts with breaking those chains and footholds. It starts with depicting the lies. We talked about that last week as well. Depicting the lies that we've either been taught to believe or the ones we've chosen to believe about ourselves, our performance. If I do this, I'll be loved. If I do this, I'll be accepted. Whatever the case may be, you can fill in the blank for you. Those are just examples from my life. We also need to realize and understand that we have nothing to prove to anybody, right? Just as I said earlier, we don't have anything to prove to anybody. And that empty cross and the empty tomb says it all. We don't have anything to prove. Jesus proved it all. Anyways, with that, do you guys remember much of your childhood? Yeah? Block most of it out? Same. No, I'm just kidding. Too long ago. That ain't right. Anyways, do you guys ever remember, like, being in kindergarten? I can remember it vividly to this day. Just being in kindergarten, and whoever, I don't know, who you just argue with everybody. I think just kindergartners just inevitably do that. We just argue with anybody. I say we just argue with anybody. Yeah, I'm still in kindergarten, but anyways. That was always the argument, is my dad can beat up your dad, right? My dad can beat up your dad. I don't know where that comes from either. Like, did dads just say I could beat that dad up, and then we just relay it at school? I don't really know, but well, that's exactly what happens, and that's exactly what's about to happen as we open up this last bit of scripture, as we dive in into the subject about how our dad beats up the bad guy, right? It's every childhood's dream. Every child's dream is our dad beats up the bad guy. Well, this really does happen. All right, let's jump into it. First, do you guys leave the house without clothes on? I hope not. I mean, I don't know what Dave does, but he does live in the country. Don't drive on Cowhand Road and look west, all right? It's a warm day. Anyway, right. I can't even focus now. I hope you don't leave the house without clothes on. However, leaving the house without the armor of God is like the same thing. It's like leaving the house naked, right? And it opens up every single attack, lie, shame, guilt, condemnation that Satan and his demons can throw at us, right? It's like leaving the house completely naked. And we don't think about that, right? Like, yeah, we always leave our house closed, right? There's not a lot of people agreeing with me. I'm starting to get concerned. But we have to start leaving our house with the armor of God. And we've heard this Fisher Price story of the armor of God, and I'm just as guilty as this as anybody. It's like, yeah, we put the helmet of truth on, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, and we're ready to go. This is our Sunday school mentality, right? But it's real. Just as we talked about last week, I hope you guys didn't forget last week, and I made it that way for a reason, is that way you wouldn't forget it. And maybe it would be scarred into your mind just the way that I explained it. Because we're always at war. Always. Always. I mean, have you guys ever seen Hacksaw Ridge? Amazing movie. Amazing movie. It's about a kid that grows up he's very, very, very big believer in Jesus. But anyways, he enlists in the army. He decides that, it was World War II. He enlists in the army, decides that he's not going to carry a gun as he goes into battle. He's going to be a medic. He will not carry a gun. He just refuses to. Takes a lot of grief for it in basic training. But anyways, just this is the envision that I see, is if you guys have seen it, there's a scene in the movie where they're battling the Japanese, and it's dark, like it's kind of gory in the movie, but he's just walking through all of these minefields and all of these just foxholes, all of these things where he's trying to just save everybody that he can, and he's bleeding and his hands are bleeding and he's exhausted. But that's exactly how I view like the behind the scenes world, the behind the scenes spiritual warfare that's happening for our souls right now, every single day. Now some days are better than others, but you guys know your bad days. You do. And this is why the whole armor of God is so important. Oh, so important. We went over this quite a few times, so hopefully we're starting to remember, right? The 6 D's we talked about, what were they? Deceive, disunify, desensitize, destroy, distract, and deconstruction. We talked about deceiving, destroying, and distraction all in just Genesis 1 last week, right? What? We battle deception with what? Well, Ephesians 6 talks about we battle deception with the truth. Remember the story from when Jesus was tempted by Satan? Well, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 6. This is how Jesus battled Satan, right? With Scripture, the belt of truth with truth. Ephesians 6 calls it the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness for being right with God. We talked about being in direct relationship with God. What does being in direct relationship with God? It gives us the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is what walking with God is. This is what the belt of truth is. That's what God's truth says about us. When we start to have battles in our lives and we start to get attacked, we need to have God's word written on our hearts. And every single person in here is different. Like the scriptures that I have memorized are for me. I don't know what yours are, but you guys need to start memorizing these verses. And I know it's not very fun. I know it's not very enjoyable. I'd rather go watch Netflix and fill my mind with stuff that's not very good. And it just feeds that. It just feeds my anxiety, it feeds my guilt, it feeds my condemnation. But if I can reverse that and renew my mind like Kevin talked about 2 weeks ago and I talked about last week with Romans 12, renewing our mind with God's word and God's truth, eventually we start doing battle a whole lot easier and we start winning a lot more battles than we lose because we have God's word in our heart and in our mind. For disunity, the next D, disunity and deconstruction. Put on the shoes of peace that comes with the good news. We just talked about peace and the fruit of the Spirit, right? This is what happens when you have God's word written in your life. It brings about those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's found in Galatians 5, by the way. But we need to have that peace. Have God's written on your heart, always. This is extremely important. In addition to all of these, Ephesians 6, hold up your shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. You see how this is just falling right in line? Everything. It's almost like it was written that way, right? Like it was supposed to make sense? It's supposed to work? You get it? I didn't do that side. Sorry. This is how we do battle with Satan. God has given us complete authority over Satan and his demons. I don't remember where that is in Scripture, but you can go read it, Google it. That's what I do all the time. If I remember that, sometimes I may not remember the exact piece of Scripture, but I can Google it, and it always comes up. And then I can start doing research, looking at it. And whenever I do research, I say, when you put in work for something, it usually means a whole lot more to you. So when you start doing research on it, you remember it a whole lot more. Start doing research on it. Start doing research on the things that you maybe fail at every single day, or every other day, or every month, or every 6 months. Start doing battle with God's word. In closing, I don't really have a whole lot more today. It's really hard, as I said last week, It is so hard to get into a lot of spiritual warfare, so I kind of skimmed along the top just to try to hit the high notes of spiritual warfare. But just as I mentioned last week, there's an amazing book, and there may be something in the works on this. I need to talk to Kevin about that. But there's an amazing book called Your Story Has a Villain. If you guys want to go read it, I highly recommend it. I probably had 10 people come up to me last week wanting to read it. And everybody I know that has read it has it's opened their eyes to everything, just as last week did. I did a completely poor job compared to that book last week of what it does, explaining spiritual warfare. But that's a book that you guys can study and really get into your heart as well, and start letting that into your heart, let good things into your heart. But in closing, I just want to say a few things. There's a pastor that he doesn't know me. His Chip Ingram. Some of you guys probably know him. But I'll never forget this when he said it. But he said, God's ways will never sustain you. God's ways will never sustain you. That's why his word has to. Does that make sense? It's like I was talking to Ty about this week. And I'm not saying that you're not supposed to pray. I'm not saying you're not supposed to ask for things, because you absolutely are. However, when we go to God in prayer, a lot of the time it's because we need something. Correct? We always need something. Like this week, I may need this. Next week, I may need this. And I either get it or I don't. But every single week, I feel like it changes for me. And then I find myself start leaning on, I'm kind of using God as my self-help genie to a better life. And I'm not really in relationship with him. I'm just kind of using him to get the next best thing. However, and then I start losing battles because I'm not really in relationship with him. I'm just kind of asking him and using him for things. And who likes to be used in here in a relationship? Nobody, right? Think about it in that way. We have a direct relationship with God. He wants to hear from us. He wants to be in community with us. God's ways will never sustain you. That's why his word has to. What better way to communicate with God? I always hear this all the time, that people just say, I just wish God would speak to me. And I was like, there's a book for that. You know? There's a book for that. God speaks to us in three different ways. This is the three things that I found last year. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his prayer. And lastly, he speaks through us through his people. And if we're only doing one of those, sometimes we're missing on a whole third of what God's trying to tell us. That leads me into my next last closing point. It's just how important our community is. It's so important. Community is incredibly important when we're battling Satan and we're doing spiritual warfare. I don't know how many times, like especially this last year, and I'm so thankful for Joe and Ty and Chris and Sean and Roger and Tyler. Dave and Trent. I could point out all these people that I've complained to, and Kevin. But every single time, they either tell me something that I need to hear, or they tell me something that encourages me, and it reminds me of the truth of who I am. Isn't that amazing how community works? That's why we're supposed to have meaningful connections with people. And I know people can be people, and they're messed up, and they're imperfect. Sometimes they're not always as nurturing as you want them to be. Sometimes that's a good thing. But God's word can't. God can't. The Holy Spirit, not God, the Holy Spirit cannot remind you of something that you haven't heard. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it's just you making up stuff in your head, and then you just go with your heart, and you're following your heart again. And that's the truth. The Holy Spirit cannot remind you of something that you haven't heard or you haven't read, right? So in the midst of things, like yesterday, we were in, and this is completely off topic, we were in a burn room, moving hose up four flights of stairs and sweating beyond sweat. And they always tell us in training, especially when you have a mask on, go to your happy place. And go to your happy place. Go to your happy place. And as I got up to like the fourth story with some 2.5-inch hose, we were flowing some water, and I couldn't breathe. My kidneys were hurting. It felt like somebody was punching me. And I'm sweating. I have sweat in my eyes because you have a mask on, so you can't wipe it out of your eyes. And you're flowing water, and pretty soon I just start thinking about Jesus. And I didn't even realize it. And it burned really. It's 1,000 degrees in there. But that's the goal. And I started thinking about, you know, it's hot in there, so imagine that. I'm thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing that too. But that's it, people. That's it. That's how you battle Satan, right? With God's word, through prayer, through his people. Don't let him deceive you. He can't deceive you if you know God's word. He can't distract you if you know God's word. He can't make you deconstruct. What's deconstruct? When you construct something, you build it up. When you deconstruct, you blow it up. You can't blow up your faith. You can't be disunified with other people when you have God's word written on your heart. You can't be desensitized when you have God's word written on your heart. Just as I explained last week, just as much as I made the joke about the Hallmark movie, people were talking to me this morning if I finished 1923, and I was like, nope. Get away from me, Satan. Get out of here. We can't be desensitized. We can't be distracted. We can't deconstruct. We can't be disunified. We can't be deceived. And lastly, if we do all of that and we have battled all of that, we can't be what the last D says, and that's destroyed, right? Isn't that amazing how God's word works? Almost like it was written that way. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you so much just for this time this morning. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much just for the guidance that it gives us. God, just as John 10:10 says, you came to give us life and give it in abundance. And not only does that mean giving us amazing life here on earth, just by what your word says, but also your death and resurrection gives us the opportunity to be with you forever, forever. Lord, I don't want anybody in here to be eternally separated, either in here or online. I don't want anybody to be eternally separated from you, God. So, God, I just ask that if you just lay it on their heart, Lord, just to accept you as their Lord and Savior, that your burden is easy, or that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. God, we thank you for that. God, come and fill that hole in our hearts that nothing else can fill besides you. And as we go throughout this week, let's just spread the word of God. Let's spread the peace of God with everybody that we come into contact. In your name we ask.